Well, there's no end in sight to the country's mortgage crisis, with latest figures due out today expected to show that almost 100,000 mortgage holders are over 3 months in arrears. The number of mortgages in trouble has risen every quarter over the last 4 years since the central bank started collating these figures, to the point where today 13% of all mortgages in the country are now 90 days or more in arrears. Finance journalist Jill Kirby joins me on the line. Jill, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miles.
There had been some hope that these figures would be starting to improve by now. Was that always unrealistic?
Yes, I think it was. And I think it was far too optimistic to expect that since, I think it was sort of early this year in the spring, the central bank made it quite clear to the banks that they were going to have to start clearing their arrears. And they set them a pace, which I don't think they were ever going to meet. 20% of all of their arrears were supposed to be cleared, cleared as in restructured mortgages, write-downs, you know, new deals for people that were long-term and sustainable. Well, 20% of those were supposed to happen by now, by June, and then I think about 50% or so by the end of this year. What we're probably—now, again, we haven't seen the figures. All we have is a leak that they've gone up to just over 98,000, nearly 100,000, as you said, and that is an increase from 95,554 that were reported at the end of the first quarter of this year in March. Those figures were up about 1% from the December period, and the same went for the buy-to-let, so in arrears. So, you know, the figures are going up by 1% probably every quarter. That's 4% increase over the year or so. And it's going to take longer to clear the backlog, but also, of course, address the new arrears that are still happening. Mm. And those new arrears, though, Miles, were slowing down. I was looking at the figures again to March, and between December of last year and the first quarter, the end of March this year, the increase in the numbers of people who were now under 90 days in arrears was only 0.7%. So, you know, it had fallen by 0.7%. So that was kind of a good sign. But on the other extreme, which was those people who had fallen into over 360 days arrears, that's a full year, that figure was up 7.5% nearly. So, you know, there's still a big arrears problem.
I'd assume that the central bank will be looking at that figure in particular, people who are over 360 days in arrears, because if that figure has declined, it means presumably that the banks are addressing the issue of repossessing those properties.
Well, repossessing or sorting them out. I think repossession is probably more likely. But again, there's no sign from the courts. There's no sign in the courts that there's been a huge surge in repossessions. There were very few last year and up to this quarter. We're talking low hundreds. So unless there is a huge surge in cases since March of family homes being repossessed, and my understanding is unless you voluntarily surrender your house, it goes to court, and I don't think I've seen or you've seen a huge surge in numbers of people being brought to court by the banks to have their homes repossessed. I don't think we're going to see a huge change in that number. In fact, that number might even go up.
What else should we be looking for when these figures do come out today? What else would you find interesting?
Well, I think what's also very interesting is how these restructurings are happening. The central bank has been including a section in the reports on the way residential mortgages and the buy-to-let are being restructured. And at the moment, there are something like, I'm looking at the figures here, there are 79,000 residential mortgages have been restructured to date. Now, so to date being the end of March. So I think if we see a big increase in those numbers, then clearly the banks are doing their job. They're actually fulfilling that obligation to the central bank to try and sort out mortgage problems. The only thing is about that, there's even a figure within that that'll be worth watching. Something like 76% of all restructured mortgages are apparently performing. That means that they're following the terms of their new restructuring, whether that's, you know, paying interest only or, you know, having their terms extended and being able to pay the amount every month on that. But 24% haven't been performing. That figure's been fairly steady.
This is of the ones that have been restructured.
Restructured. About a quarter of them, just even when it's restructured, people can't cope. And
so about 20,000 of the mortgages that have been restructured are still not performing, even
That's
after
right.
being restructured.
But Miles, you know, I'm overwhelming listeners here, but about half of those, a little more than half of those restructured mortgages, people aren't in arrears. They've simply gone into the MARP process, the mortgage arrears process, because they are having trouble meeting their mortgage every month, or they're struggling, or they expect to perhaps go into arrears. So they were allowed to go into the process, get their mortgage restructured, and over half of them don't have any arrears. And it'll be interesting in this latest round of statistics to see if some of those people are struggling even with their restructuring and perhaps falling into arrears. That is what could be explaining what's been flagged as an increase in arrears, even with the banks trying to get to the bottom of sorting them out.
But you're pretty certain, or fairly confident, if confident is the word I'm after, that the injunction by the central bank that 20% of this has to be dealt with by the end of June, when the Q2 figures come out, that will not have happened.
Well, who knows? I mean, I'd be surprised if it is,
yeah.
Because as we just said, one of the ways for them to get that number way down would be by repossessions or by accepting voluntary surrenders. And there's been no sign in the courts that there's been a surge of repossessions to June. We're still, you know, Miles, we're only talking to the end of June. It's not as if it's, you know, even another 2 months that we've gone through now. So, and they've done practically nothing up to the first quarter, you know, up to the end of March, they had done virtually nothing. Tiny numbers of mortgage holders being sorted out. So unless they've been awfully busy in those 3 months to the end of June, then we probably won't see a huge difference in those figures. I shouldn't think so. I don't think they're going to make the 20%, but I could be wrong. And let's hope I am wrong, because if I'm wrong, it means that things are finally in trail. Now, that said, the organizations that are defending and supporting indebted homeowners are saying that they're deeply concerned that this problem will be sorted out by the banks through repossession rather than trying to find genuinely sustainable solutions. And my view has always been that, and I think theirs, is that the only genuine solution is twofold. One is some serious writing down of debt and writing down of mortgages much closer to real market values, which we're going to be with for decades. Or there is a magnificent recovery and both employment numbers go up and people's incomes start going up and taxes start falling again. I mean, that's a way to
and
sort out
the pigs might fly.
Problem. Well, exactly. I mean, I'm sure it's going to happen someday, but it's not going to happen in this quarter or the next quarter.
There's been a lot of talk about strategic defaulters coming, obviously,
yes,
from the banks. Is there also an argument that there is strategic inaction amongst the banks for very obvious reasons?
Well, I don't know if the reasons are that obvious. I'm trying to speak to people in the
banks.
Well,
they don't want to write down. They don't want
no, they
to write
don't.
Down that. They don't want to.
Well, it's not. At this stage, I'm not even sure if it's that they don't want to. I'm not sure they're allowed to. We're talking about the Irish banks, which are mainly Irish-owned. Our government has the IMF looking over and the Troika looking over their shoulder. The writing off of massive amounts of mortgage debt in this country would probably result in our banks needing another bailout. And that has all sorts of implications for everything from, you know, the country's capacity to get out of our program and start borrowing on the markets to the cost to depositors. It's been made quite clear by the finance ministers of the EU in the last few months, especially during our own presidency, that if countries come back to them looking for bailouts for their banks, well, you know, depositors are going to have to take a hit. People foolish enough to leave more than 100 grand in their accounts are going to be hit. So there's all sorts of implications of that. And I think that's what's really been delaying what is a pretty straightforward sorting out of a massive debt problem here. And that is you write it off. We're not in a position to do that.
The great panacea, of course, is growth, and more growth. Now, that obviously would have a beneficial impact on the sovereign deficit situation.
Yep.
But might it actually exacerbate the mortgage situation, because there might be then rate increases? European Central Bank might raise its rates, and that would make the situation worse here.
Sure, and I don't put a lot of time. I don't give a lot of time to quarterly or even monthly figures of growth in the Eurozone or in the States. These change dramatically week by week, even in terms of employment numbers in the States, or, you know, exports are good for one quarter and then they slip again in the next. But there certainly has been a lot of reports about the global economy kind of picking up, certainly European, outside of the peripheral countries that are just hopelessly in debt. There seems to be some improvement in France and Germany. Again, very, very short-term statistics here, which can change. But if that's the case, and if it genuinely is the case, listen, who's against that? You know, that's a good thing for all of us. But it does mean that these historically low, manipulatedly low interest rates have to go up. I mean, the ECB rate's at 0.5%, and it's been staying there for far too long, in a sense. And the moment, you know, things really do start picking up and economies do start bubbling away again, and there's more borrowing, and, you know, interest rates have to go up because there's more of a demand for that money. And if that happens, then we are screwed in this country, because there isn't anybody on that arrears list in the central bank who could afford to see even the ECB rate with a tracker going up by 0.5%, 1%, 2%. And let's not forget, up to 2007 and 2008, the average ECB rate was about 4% in this country. Now it's 0.5%.
And of course, the European Central Bank is going to, at its monthly meeting, is going to sit there and look at inflation beginning to take off in Europe. On the other hand, Irish mortgage holders would be in trouble if we put up our interest rates. So what choice do you think they're going to make?
Well, I think, Miles, you know, what I have noticed, especially by the new central bank chief in the UK, the Bank of England's chief, Mark Carney, is that he's basically readjusted upwards the inflation target. It's been I don't know, arbitrarily set at 2% by most Western governments. He's stuck it up to 2.5%. I think the Americans are probably looking at the same. I mean, they're going to adjust it. Listen, they've been manipulating these interest rates for so long. What's going to stop them doing it to suit them again? And because they do have this huge dilemma. On the one hand, it's a very good thing that their economies recover and ultimately interest rates go up, but bond rates go up too, and that's yields go up, and that's a disaster for them. But it also, on the other side, is a mass of people with huge amount of debt, and interest rates are the last thing that they need if they're going to remain solvent, if they're even solvent now. So they're boxed in a corner. It's not going to be a nice outcome either way. There's always implications to doing these things.
Just one thing finally and briefly, there's a couple of texts that have come in which are essentially saying the same thing. Thursday, house prices surge in Dublin. Friday, 100,000 mortgage holders 3 months behind in their payments. And somebody from Dunleary says, listening to the news regarding mortgage arrears, I can't help but contrast this information with yesterday's news regarding property price rises. And come to the conclusion,
property prices, Miles,
yeah.
I mean,
It's based on a tiny market. It's an illusion.
Of course it is. And its demand is very high for a select number of houses on the market in good neighborhoods with good facilities by two groups of people. One of them, of course, are cash buyers who are perhaps living in those houses, but mostly probably investing in them because the yields are huge. And young couples who either never were on the property market, were saving up money, perhaps have inheritances, or they very sensibly, you know, and there's few enough of them, but perhaps sold at the peak, rented for a while, and have a massive cash so that they're not taking on really huge mortgages, which incidentally the banks are not lending anyway. So this is a tiny artificial market. I wish we wouldn't make such a big deal about these Dublin prices, because they do not reflect the reality for the entire country. There's no question about that.
Jill, thank you very much indeed for that. Finance journalist Jill Kirby there, and those figures will be coming out, I think it's at 1 o'clock today.